Boat Show, episode number 495. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me as we start easing up on that 500th episode just around the corner, 495. And also, by the way, I know you tune in to the MMA Roadshow for Las Vegas weather updates. I know that's the real reason. Most people probably turn it off once they get the weather update, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's dirt updates and weather updates.
But
that's what we're known for.
Hey, my favorite time of year is getting here. We got a little taste of October already, man. It's been like in the 80s this week, which after a month of 110s and 115s, we will certainly take.
I fucking love it. The back door has been open all day long, just letting the breeze come in. It's so nice.
Can't beat it.
Yesterday got a bit windy.
Yeah.
Had that breeze open, and you could hear like the coverings on the grills outside were kind of just going crazy. But no, today has been absolutely.
And that's what
perfect.
It brings in the allergies and all that.
Yes, that's probably why my eyes are messing with me right now. Is because of all the wind blowing all the allergies. As opposed to the smoke, no fires.
Man, no fires. That's a good thing. Yeah, as you said, Wednesday evening, we did not have a media day today. A rare off week for the UFC. I was like, did they plan that on purpose so they could have like a decompression week after the Sphere? Was that just the way it played out? But it works out. You got a week off, and so we're here on a Wednesday night after a relatively low key day, I should say, having a couple of. You could probably hear that slurp right there. A couple of victory sour monkey sour triples, 9.5%.
I didn't realize it was 9.5.
Which I like that.
Yes.
Taste cool. Victory responsibly, it says. That's part of the tagline there. But this is tastefully tart mystical flavors. Fruity notes from imported Belgian yeast swirl through a precise souring. Pucker up to a bite of citrus-laden tang, ending with a delectable experience. Citrus-laden tang.
Yeah. Puckering up and tank.
Pucker up
that's
to
what
my tang.
It's like pucker up to the tank.
It's good, though. I don't drink a lot of sour beers, but you know what? Shout out to the magnificent one, Steven Morocco. I think he was one of the ones that first turned me on to a sour beer. I don't drink a lot of them, but it's pretty tasty.
It's good every once in a while. It's like a nice little palate cleanser. I especially during like summer when it's warmer. Say if you drink like a lot of the other imported beers and the heavier IPAs and those stuff.
Not that we would ever do that.
Yeah, a nice little sour kind of cleans the palate a little bit, but I like them in the summers a lot. But yeah, it just happened to be going by the liquor store the other day because I've been bugging Morgan when I have coffee. I was like, I want some Bailey's or I want some Kahlua. So I went and actually picked up
some Kahlua.
And then while I was there, I was like, you got any sours? I just, for some reason, you know, like sours, just like one of those things. I like to try different ones because they all have like unique little whatevers. And this guy was like, yeah, man, the sour one's supposed to be pretty good. He said a lot of the staff liked it. So I was like, oh, I'll give it a try. But yeah, man, it's good.
It's good.
The first sip makes you pucker up.
I got that citrus laden tang right there. But then tang was in my face. But then after that, it became a delectable experience.
Yeah,
so
it's good. It's probably like if you drink a six pack, after the third or fourth, you're like, all right, I need to switch it up. But yeah, if you're having just a few of them, it's nice.
Yeah,
switch up.
You can't do sours for like a whole day or something. Like,
I have to switch them up, like, because you're gonna have the different flavors. Like, I don't know if this is what did it say, pineapple or whatever. I guess it just said citrus. When you start getting some of the different ones, then I like switching up the flavors a little bit. Then I feel like I can drink sours a little bit longer, but. Yeah, sours is not something you could drink all day because after a while you just feel like you're just fully puckered up.
Yeah, 100%.
But at 9.5, you can't drink that all day either.
Maybe not highly recommended, but that's not saying that you can't.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Go hard, folks.
Go hard. All right, listen. Breaking news of the day. Obviously, it's been unfolding this afternoon. Mostar Avloev is needing an opponent in Salt Lake City. Aljamain Sterling is out. That's a bit upsetting.
We just saw him. Like
I know.
So, was that already injured at that point?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's been working.
He just came out with it today, though.
Right. I guess they finally gave him the rule that hey, man, you're not going to be good to go. It's not going to be done in time. So, it's interesting because
it's so close.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
It's funny because I was actually supposed to talk to Ali Abdelaziz this afternoon, which is one of the reasons we were going in the evening was because I had to get that interview done with Ali Abdelaziz. And I thought I would be able to sit down here and have some fresh news because he's working with Mostar now. And I thought I might be able to have a little update on it. But unfortunately, We did not connect. Now, I don't know if that's because he's busy working on Mosar or working on some other stuff, but I did see that John Silva is saying that he would step up and take that fight, which, you know, credit to Mosar if he takes that fight, right? Because that's somebody that hasn't really earned the opportunity to face that.
Man, those fighting nerds, man. Bro, they're fun. They're a fun bunch to watch. And they jump up. They jump at anything. That would be a tough fight.
That'd be a really tough fight. That's what I'm saying. That's a dangerous opponent to not have any name value whatsoever. But Mosar saying, hey, I've worked hard. I've been in training camp. I need to get a fight. I did see the Diego Lopez angle where I don't think you can really blame Diego Lopez for what he's saying, right? Like, hold on. Why you want to fight me now? I've been trying to fight you for all this time, and you didn't want nothing to do with me. Now you need my services? Like, no, I'm out. And I think Diego probably needs to wait anyway. So, were you surprised that Diego handled it that way, or do you kind of see it that way as well?
No, I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, what gets me in this just – it brings up, like, how the – it just – it. Recently, we just heard how Sean O'Malley, after his, came out and he was like, oh, I was really injured. I shouldn't, you know, I have to get the surgery. I have to whatever, you know. It makes you wonder, well, how bad was this? Should Aljo have just kept his mouth shut and fought? Or, you know, and is this the kind of thing that happens so much? Like, why? I don't know. It just, maybe it's just sticking in my head because we just had this whole thing where the UFC is like, we can't obviously see when these internal things happen because most of these physicals aren't doing these crazy intensive like MRI scans where they're having somebody look at it and say, oh, there's a potential tear here or whatever, right. They're not doing that. Just makes you wonder why it, and maybe I need to go back and see how serious is his injury. But I mean, if the guy was walking around and was at the Sphere show and he was going around and he seemed absolutely fine, but then he was waiting to hear back whether he was clear or not. I guess I should give him credit for reaching out and saying, hey, there's something going on, and he wanted to make sure that the UFC team cleared him for it.
Right.
Or could he have just kept his mouth shut and fought on this card? You know, like, I guess there's two different things. You know, we saw...
It was a shoulder injury, so it's not something that would leave him hobbled, like moving.
Yeah,
you know
and
what I mean?
It's like, I mean, I know Mal, if he says he has to have surgery on this hip, I think it is, or whatever. Yeah. I don't think it was a hip thing that made him flat that evening, but in the same sense, he still went out and fought. The card was really need him. Like, I definitely think if there's anything, the UFC was like, bro, we need you to fight, but we never heard of anything like that. Like, I guarantee the UFC didn't come off to me like they knew there was an injury, and Sean didn't make it. He definitely made it clear that he didn't tell them that was going on. So it just makes you wonder. I mean, I don't know. I mean, should we give Aljo credit for saying something? Should we be like, Aljo, is there something else going on that you're like pulling out of this fight?
He said it was on the advice of the PI doctors, and so, you know, I see some doubt in your facial expression over there.
Was that the pucker from the sour monkey? Was it making that face?
That must have been it.
Was that the pucker face?
That was the citrus-laden tang right there.
The citrus-laden
you were showing some citrus-laden tang.
That scene, bro, we've seen these guys fight through so much crazy shit. I felt that just makes it sound like he was looking for a way out of this fight.
Ah, that's strong. Strong to say. But I mean, listen, you got to think too. Like when, you know, he's admitted before that he kind of fought in times that he thought he shouldn't fight. You know what I mean? And it didn't go his way. So yeah, I think you do got to respect him and say he's no longer willing to do that at this point in his career.
Why 2 weeks out of an event? If this was really a thing, and you think that there's a potential, just pull out in advance. Why make it this far and then, you know?
Because you're hoping for the best, right? You're just hoping that
for the best. Don't say
that it was that the response. I mean, you're hoping that your body will respond, that the recovery will happen, that you're going to be okay.
That's just, man. It just I don't know. This is the kind of thing in the because I would see where the UFC is like, Aljo, I respect what you had to say, but you kind of fucked us. We're 2 weeks out of the event. If you knew there was a potential something going on, you ping that.
Give us some more time.
4 months ago, 3 months ago or something, you know, something you give us time. At this point, there's a potential we're going to lose a fight from the card. Like, he's not doing him any favors. He was already a guy that people think that the UFC's already kind of pissed off at and hasn't been doing him any favors. This is not going to help that situation.
Well, maybe that's his thought process. It's like, well, these dudes don't like me anyway, so what do I care?
That's true.
You know
but then to make it seem like this was his choice to be sort of like, I'm going to say this right now because I know they're going to – because in all good, you know, conscience, they're going to say, well, if you're telling us there's something wrong, I gotta fucking say,
right,
you can't fight.
Right.
You know, like, if you're telling me this and then this is the kind of thing and you say the right things, I have to tell you, you're not cleared to fight. So it's like, if you tell me this, I just want you to know, I'm going to have to tell you that you're not clear to fight.
Kind of like if you're in the middle of a weight cut and you see a doctor, like, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to tell you to rehydrate. Like,
yeah, like, doc, I just threw up in the back, but yeah. I feel good. But I'm ready. I'm good. I'm good to get on the scale.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little shaky right now, and I passed out in the back. But I feel good. I feel like I can get on the scale. It's just one of those things, like, if the UFC cannot see inside your body, if you don't want to fight, there's ways you can get out of a fight. If you want to fight, you can fight.
Harsh. Cold coffee is harsh.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I like Aljo, but this is just
sour monkey.
Two weeks out, like, when I just saw him, he was all smiles. He was all smile and happy, and he was there rooting his boy on,
right,
and he was happy, happy. At least look like you're going through some issue right then.
Like, give it the old courtesy cough when you're calling into work. Like, hey, boss. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it in today. Just feeling a little sick.
I don't know, man. I hate to think the worst, but it doesn't sit well. I feel like you say these sort of things because you do not want to fight. At this point, you should. If you say it 3 months ago, then you're concerned you're not well to fight. You're like, when did he say this injury happened?
I don't know if he gave a date for it. He just said it was something that happened in sparring. I don't know if he said.
I mean, if it's really, really recent, then I get it. But if this is an ongoing thing that's like, you know, I tweaked it 3 months ago and I was just managing it or whatever. I don't know. I take it back. If it was last week, then I get it.
Right.
But even then, just keep your mouth shut and get your paycheck. You know, like, Aljo should be able to beat this guy. You know, but if you're not confident, you're looking for a way out. So.
Yeah, it was. It happened in sparring. Somebody was trying to crank a Kimura on him, and he injured his arm. He took stem cells. He said he took time off. I didn't see a date of when he said it happened exactly.
If he took stem cells and took time off. This happened a little while ago.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. So maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe if he was getting help from the UFC doctors, maybe they did know. It's damn unfortunate. It's still a good card, though, man. It's 307 still looking pretty good. I mean, Alexa had
a Khalil. That was one of the better fights. That's a fight that's like at the top of the division. That's
100%.
Like, you know, like with stakes. But yeah. His taint puckered.
we'll see what happens on this one. All right, listen. You and I haven't had a chance to see each other since the Sphere card unfolded, so I thought maybe we'd kind of talk about that a little bit. I did do a recap on Saturday night with Dennis from Submission Radio. We got a little recap of the action, which was fun to do. But you and I didn't get a chance to talk much about it, and so I guess I wanted to get your experience. You came out for the first fight of the night, and then you came out for the main event?
Yes.
So you saw the first and the last fight of the night, so you got some experience with all of it. You saw the early part, which was...
Yep.
Underwhelming, I guess. I mean, look, when you walked in, it was cool, right? Because, you know, I mean, obviously you're familiar with the Sphere. You've seen performances in there. I don't know if most people realize, like, when you walk in, like, it looks like there's scaffolding and lighting and all this stuff. Like, that's all fake. Like, none of that's actually real. And it looks cool in 3D and all that. But I do think maybe – I feel like we kind of knew because we had heard about it and they had talked. I feel like maybe the UFC could have done a better job of letting people know, like, hey – the prelims is just kind of the prelims. Like, it's just a fight. You know what I mean? Because I think everybody's like, you could see the hate right away. Like, oh, man, this is incredibly underwhelming.
Dana had said that beforehand. I believe if people asked the right questions or were inquisitive, they said that the transitions happened, the six movies happened when it was going from the final prelim going into the main card.
Right.
That was when the shit, like, happened. So if people were like – expecting all crazy shit. I get it if somebody was like, well, I expected the screen to at least change a little bit. And it did change a little bit.
Minor
little changes.
Yeah.
But it kept the scaffolding. It kept the whatever. Look, it was like red. At one time, it went sort of gold. It went sort of like silverish or whatever. And it got more intense as it went on. But I still found elements in that I thought was very, very intriguing, especially like the lighting that they hung up behind the screen
Pretty
that was shining through. And then so, but it played perfectly with the screen because the intensity would go. And I took some video where you could actually see the light rays shooting through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was going in and out. So, like, if somebody was just looking at it and thought, like, okay, it's a stagnant, just, like, cage, like, whatever, rigging behind it, even though we know it's an image, it wasn't stagnant. Like, right. There was little parts that you could see. Was it as intenser or intricate as other stuff I've seen there? And as it got later in the evening, it wasn't. It was kind of whatever. But I wasn't surprised to see the people that immediately were shitting on it, like, first fight in. Like, they gave it no chance for it. And they're like, I can't believe this is what it was all about. And I was like, is the first fight even over? I was like, what is going on? I was like, you didn't even give it a fucking chance. It's like going to a concert and be like, I can't believe they didn't play the encore right from the get-go. Like, oh my God, worst performance ever, you know? It got better and better. I mean, some of the ones later on were just intense. It was incredible. But no, I mean, I found stuff to like, even from the get-go. But that being said, being in the room was very, 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 very different than what I was seeing on the screen in the background. Now, that being said as well, the feed that we were getting was a typical courtesy truck feed like we would get if we're in the Apex or we're in any venue that's getting piped from the truck.
Oh, so in the back, you were just watching.
We were not getting what I think was the overall house feed or the broadcast feed that this director was supposed to show all the back thing.
Got it.
I believe that was a separate feed.
Interesting.
And so that wasn't what we were getting. What we were getting was like when you saw the fake screens that were not screens,
right,
that look like real screens.
Yeah.
When you see that footage that's getting put up into that, that's the fight footage.
Yeah.
That would be the truck feed,
right,
that's going.
That's what you were getting.
We
in the back.
Got that feed.
Interesting.
But then every once in a while it would cut to when that feed was not going. Then they had the luxury to give us a view of like the more of the octagon,
yep,
or I'm sorry, more of the actual sphere,
right,
the sphere space itself. So even when but when it would go into like the transitions, it would do wider shots. It would go to wider shots that I think were probably similar. I imagine the director for the house feed had the truck feed, but also had the ability to add other elements in his. I don't think they're not going to do two different broadcasts. He's going to take that feed, and I think he just added other little things.
Interlace it throughout. Yeah.
So when the truck would take the one and was, you know, showing the house feed, I'm sure that might have been like what this guy was showing as well. I think he had probably just the luxury of showing the other stuff because we didn't see any drone shit going into the truck feed, but everybody saw that drone going around and around and around.
Dude, the first time the drone flew over my head, I was like, what the?
I thought at some point it was going to hit one of the cranes or something because it, you know, I because the person doing that was probably wearing a VR goggles or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
and just was seeing the whole thing flying around. And you don't really have the peripheral view of when how close you're getting these cranes. So obviously the guy was probably pretty good. Probably the same person that did like the fish shows and some of the other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. As soon as I saw the drone, I was like, I told you, Dana, that you were going to use drones, and you said you weren't using drones. I guarantee he just didn't know that they were using drones. But I think that was probably what was being able to potentially either getting – if it wasn't going to the outside, it was being backed up for the documentary, it was being backed up for just other little cuts and shots that they could do. But we never saw any moving drone shots on the truck feed that we got put to the back. So
the drone shots were interesting because they looked cool. There's right about it. There was, so I went back on Sunday and watched the whole pay-per-view. Like, I didn't watch the prelims, but I went and watched the whole pay-per-view just to see what it looked like. Like, what were people seeing at home? And I did realize afterwards, like, I thought they did a pretty good job of conveying what was happening in there.
Yeah.
But it's just absolutely impossible to truly convey the feeling what was in there. Like, and so I think that's kind of what I realized is that, like, I think anybody that was in there, and I know you were only in there for two fights. I was in there for the whole thing. And, you know, anybody that was a paying customer that was in there, I'm pretty sure anybody that was inside the sphere walked away on Saturday night going, damn, that was cool as hell.
Yep.
But I feel like if you watched it on TV, maybe you got a little bit of it, but not enough to be like, oh, yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. And even then, like, if you're there in the room, you got the full exposure to the sphere. But say if you're trying to watch the action in the octagon, it's not going to look as good as when you're watching the fight on the TVs.
Oh, 100%. You know, I will say that even though, so we were seated at the, I mean, obviously you saw what
we were
seated. You guys
were all fucking blocking our views for like the octagon. Like our row sucked for the octagon.
Is that right?
So I had to like watch the screen.
Well, I was going to tell you, but even, so even where I was sitting in my row, which is not where we normally sit on fight night, it's a little bit further away off the side of it. But honestly, because the screen resolution is so high and so bright.
Yeah.
I was watching the screen, too, even where I was sitting.
It was a clearer picture, and it was more like what you're used to seeing.
Yeah.
But since we were all in the like the media box, we're all on the same level, so we were three rows. I was two rows behind you, so I had to look between the guy that was leaning to the left to look between you and Kevin. So it was like, okay, this isn't working. Like, so I would see little bits, and I was like, I'm just going to look on the screens. And what was awesome is because at some points they either did the two ones, and then sometimes they did the three. Did you look backwards and see the two screens that they put at the very top for the people that were facing backwards?
Yep.
I was like, that was so cool.
Yep.
That, so if people didn't understand what we're saying, so there were the people that were sitting behind the octagon with the back of the sphere to their back.
Which seemed bizarre that they even put seats there to begin with.
Because those were expensive. Mm-hmm. So like they either knew somebody, like maybe nobody paid those things and that was just people that would knew somebody or somebody's corporate job paid for it or something. But those people didn't have the view of the fight windows that we would see on the screen or the giant screens. So if you looked at the very, very top at the back of the sphere where there was never any reason to look back there unless you're just looking at the sphere and you're like, I want to follow the sky all the way to the back. They had a what looked like TV screens on both sides of the back of the wall so that if you were facing away from it, you would see all those people in front of you, but then you would see the fights up above. And I was like, that is so smart. They thought about – wow, we're going to have people facing backwards. They're not going to have the view of this fight.
Right.
Let's make sure that we pipe it up there. And I was like, it was just amazing. So, like, as much as, like, when you're looking at the broadcast, there's something about sitting in that room. And when since it's larger than your
field of vision,
yep. You have to pan your head around. So you're literally turning. And I was looking up to the sky and seeing, like, the Noche UFC way up in the top.
Yeah.
And then spinning around and seeing the side of the city. And then pinning around the other side and see the other side of the city. And you just don't get that when you're watching the broadcast. But when you're there, you know, going back to –
that's like what gives that feeling of virtual reality because it's bigger than your field of vision. The sound is overwhelming. The resolution is so high. The screen feels 3D like we've talked about before.
That's it.
Like it feels three-dimensional. Yeah. So it really does feel like virtual reality. Like if you're looking at that, it transports you to wherever that is.
Yeah, because when you look at the city from just the final fight when you had Merab and Sean up in the sky – that did not look flat.
Mm-mm.
That did not look like, oh, look at these flat 2D images. It literally looked like they were holograms over a city, and then you look further in the city, and you see the train that kept running through.
Just the little details like that in the scenes, like, you know, the Aztec pyramids, like the flags waving and, like, these, like, birds flying overhead and stuff like all.
It was fantastic.
I was actually talking. If you saw the U2 show, you know in the beginning there's like a bird that flies around before the show starts.
They had a couple different birds.
So I was actually talking to one of the people that works there at the Sphere that also works at T-Mobile Arena, so a familiar face, and they were saying that like most shows of U2, they get like complaints from people like, hey. There's a bird that got loose. If you guys were like, it's not real, bro.
It's not real.
It's not real.
The best part was the working light that was up in the top of U2. So it looked like you were looking at the top of like an atrium, you know, like where you'd see like there were ledges up in there, and you would see birds fly from ledge to ledge occasionally, and then sit on the edge of the ledge like looking over. And they looked so real, but then you'd look to the right, and it looked like there was like a work light that got left on, and half of it was like. Out, so it looked like it was like flickering. You're
so
like,
cool.
You're like, oh man, somebody needs to go change that light. It's like, bro,
it's not even there.
It's not even there.
Boy, I will say this: during the prelims, or that overhead that they had, like that fake lighting grid that they had with the Noche UFC, like
that was
super cool.
It was cool, but I mean, I have to give it up to U2, like their pre-show and then their wall. Was fantastic.
Amazing.
It was like the UFC one was cool. It was cool, but it was not as cool as like
not
the
cool
U2. Like just the depth and just the thought process.
Yeah.
Of like when Dana says like, hey, we put Easter eggs, to me, the birds flying, the work light, all that was like pre-show Easter eggs right. before you even – just when you're sitting there, they thought about like, all right, somebody's going to be sitting here. The show's not going to start for an hour. They're going to be looking around. They want to look at the screen. Let's give them something to look at, you know?
So speaking of Easter eggs, my wife and kid did find all the Easter eggs, that's right? Cool. It's funny because my son was like, I'm going to find all – he saw the video from Dana, and he's like, I'm going to find all of them. I'm like – no, you're not. But I was like, okay. You know what I mean? You know, obviously, you want to be encouraging of your child. You know what I mean? Like, yeah go for it. You know what I mean? But I was like, dude, there's going to be no way. Like, this is going to be so hard.
So they just write them down?
You had to take photos of it. So, okay. All right. So the first one was an Aztec pyramid, right? So the first setting is like the Aztec pyramids. And during the third round, and this is so right about Craig Borsari last night. So I guess they said 28 people found the Easter eggs. My wife and kid were one of them. But Craig said last night, I think the fact that everything went to a decision, like, probably helped. And he's 100% right, because two of them, the first two were the hardest one, and my wife and kid found them both in the third round of those fights. So had they not gotten that far. But the first one, on the Aztec pyramid, there were these symbols, just like little lines and circles that would keep switching every second. And my son found them, and he shot a text, and he was like, in a little group, you know, family group chat that we have, he's like, I think this is it right here. And I was like, where is that? And then he's way over on the right. So I looked over, and I'm like, oh, that's definitely it. And then my wife, obviously grew up in Mexico, she's like, oh, those are Aztec numbers. Like those, so it was actually like a clock of – it was like Aztec numbers that were changing, whatever. So that was the first one. The second one was savage, dude. Like it was in the Day of the Dead, the Dia de los Muertos setting. And there was a window that had five candles in it, and the candles were each 1 minute. And so the candle would burn down, and so when it went from 5 minutes to 4 minutes, that candle was gone. And then from four to three, then there were three candles. You know what I mean? So each candle represented a minute. So there were no numbers. It was just burning down per minute. And my wife saw that one because she happened to be looking around at the end of round two. When it goes from zero to five, there's a blank space that goes to five candles. And she's like, I think I found it. And then we watched them count down. Like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. It. The third one was what was the third one? The third one was – I wrote them down somewhere. The third one was up in the – oh, the third one was easy. The third one was it was like a Spanish mission type thing, and there was literally a clock right in the middle of the thing. Like it and that clock counted down, so that was easy. The fourth one was when they were in the when they had the stone statues and everything like that. That one was tough, too. It was up in the ceiling. There was a design in the ceiling that looked like an Aztec number system, basically. And there was like a little loop in it that was counting down.
Oh, wow.
So that was that. And then the fifth one was actually pretty easy. It was there was on the top row of one of the buildings. There were some numbers.
Yeah, we saw that one.
You can see that one was actually pretty easy. It was like one. It was like binary code, zeros and ones, whatever. So anyway, so they found them. My kid was super excited because he's like, I want to win this money so bad. And from the beginning, I was like, even if we're the only ones that find it, there's no way they're giving us the money. Like, they're not going to give that money to John Morgan. Like, this is not, like...
Especially when you heard Dana last night, when he was like, oh, he's like, if you know anybody that knows anybody that has related to this and you know that, he's like, you're not getting
that was
money.
A direct message to the Morgan family. Yeah. He was like, they have not made an official announcement yet, but they're like, if you've ever talked to somebody at the UFC, like, you're not getting the money. Yeah. And I'm like... I have talked to somebody at the UFC once or twice. So it was so rough to, like, try to explain to my kid. I'm like, listen, man, I am proud of you. Like, it's amazing that you guys found these. But it's, like, a conflict of interest. Like, I knew I was never going to be, like, eligible. Yeah. So, but
that's still cool.
But it was still cool. And it was cool.
And they gave him something fun to look for.
Exactly.
You know, while it was going on.
That's why I kind of encouraged it. You know what I mean? Because, he's 12. It's still a long night. You know what I mean? Like, the full night of fights is still a long night for him. Yeah. So if it's something that will keep him engaged and entertained, like, in between fights and looking for stuff. But it was cool. I'll tell you this, man. My wife, as a born and raised, you know, a woman that was born and raised in Mexico, she said, like, man, the first movies, you know, like, had her, like, emotional and, like, proud. You know what I mean? And I did think that was cool. He dropped that. Dana dropped that line in the interview the night before where it's like, you know, the flag is the only flag that has a battle on the flag. You know what I mean? Between the snake and the – I was like, that is dope.
That's
cool. That's super cool. But she said she felt proud. And my kid, who at times – could care less about the fact that he's half Mexican, right? Yeah. Like, it doesn't mean anything to him. He was actually, like, pretty proud as well. So
that's cool.
So it was cool. It was cool.
That was cool.
There's your whole Easter egg. Since you brought the Easter egg, I thought I know some people had asked me, like, what were they? I want to know what they were. Yeah. So that's what they all were.
It was cool. It was great performance, man. Like, and I know we talked about the screen, and I brought it up to Dana last night. I don't think she gets enough credit, but Marina Tobina, who did the costumes,
oh man,
they were so. effing incredible.
The costumes were great. And that was another thing. In the prelims.
They were so real.
Well, that was another one, too, because in the prelims, you know, they were just wearing, like, kind of, like, colorful. And I'm like, this isn't that great of, like, they need, like, oh, my gosh.
They transitioned like everything else.
Oh, man. Yeah, the main card
was so good. The makeup was top-notch. Like, the everything about it. I was, like, I was so floored. The theater geek inside me was like, holy cow. But I loved it because when I was watching the ring card girls at the Top Golf, like, the day before, I was like, oh, man. It's just, like, they're all young. They were just, like, having fun. Like, you thought they would just, like, do, like, what we always see. They go out there and they want to blow kisses and they do whatever. But they literally transformed themselves into these characters, and they stayed in character.
Like, the Day of the Dead ones and the statues ones, like, they didn't even smile. Oh. They were just, you know what I mean? Yeah, it was, like, stone-faced.
I was so happy that they stayed in character. Right. It was, like,
they're doing that and kissing and stuff. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
They honored the characters that they were put into it, and it just made it even better. It just carried it over, and I was floored by it. And when Dane was talking about taking this thing on the road, I was like, dude, are you going to try to match that? Because, like, it was so – you can't. Like, you can't have a 7-time Emmy Award winning or whatever, how many times she's won different awards or whatever. But she's literally I followed her on Instagram. I was like, I was so floored by what she was doing.
You followed her on Instagram? Really?
Yeah, I followed her. I sent her a message. I was like, dude, your shit, you blew me away, like, last night. And I was like, it was so fantastic. She actually said, thank you for the comment, Ken. I was like, oh, she replied.
That's cool.
So I thought it was very, very cool. But, yeah, she was – I was so blown away by the costume. So the screen was fantastic. The ring car girls carried it over, and I got to give the ring car girls because they stayed in character. Thank God. Thank goodness. There was one time at the very beginning I saw one. I was like, please don't. I was like, you got, like, literally the equivalent of thousands of dollars of, like, makeup and, like, handcrafted shit on you. Don't fucking ruin it with a selfie kiss.
Don't wave to your parents out there in the crowd or whatever. Like,
just stay in character. And that was what was cool because, you know, even when we saw the director and then when we did the art panel, the creative panel, it was definitely a combination of fine art and sport. Mm-hmm. And by them staying in character and by that representation of what it was, we actually saw that. And I thought that was so unique. And, I mean, it was just one of those neat things that it was literally, you know, as much as Dana said the cost and the other thing, it was a one-off. Like, it pulled off perfectly. The broadcast, while there might have been some issues, we saw the panel that went out up on the ceiling.
Yeah, there was a panel that went out. That happens.
Technical difficulties happened, but in terms of the pulling off the performance and having it come together and, you know, beat the expectations, we heard that things were going to look great, and I thought they did a wonderful job.
Yep.
But again, you know, watching on TV and being in the room, two different things.
There were, you know, and I went back. Obviously, production has become a much bigger part of my life in recent times. And so, like, I looked at things like there were some shadows and stuff. But I mean, what they did with lighting, you know what I mean? That was insanely complicated. Yeah. And if you watch that versus a normal broadcast, there were some shadows and stuff that you've never seen in normal USC broadcast.
You're talking when you look at the octagon, or
when you
look
in the cage.
See, that's the difference. When you look on the broadcast, you didn't see it.
Right.
So they lit it so that the broadcast, well. Granted, they lit it to make sure that it looked the same on the TV.
Right.
When you looked on the TV, you didn't see the shadows.
Yeah.
But in the room, of course.
Could see a little bit of shadows.
You could see the shadows and stuff, but that's going to happen.
It's going to happen, especially what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
There were, like, some of the drone shots, if you go back and watch the full broadcast, like, some of the drone shots I thought were a little hectic, and some of them had, like, the lighting temperature was a little bit different. Yeah. Like, they weren't quite all.
But somebody was saying it was shaky. I didn't see it because
they said that
I was
early
out
on.
There.
I didn't
they
see
said
that
early
on
that it was a lot of shaking. I was like, oh, shit, this is not good. People were saying, like, oh, all the cameras seem to be shaky. And I was like, I didn't see it because I was out there as well.
I didn't see that either. But I thought they did. I mean, these are, like, such minor little things that I think they deserve credit. And the other thing I noticed, too, is that the challenge of what they had to do, because you have essentially a show – like a concert, you know, you have you know what order things are coming in. You know, you've got your marks and you hit this and that. But what would happen is, you know, something would happen and then you get like Rogan and DC like reacting to it. Well, that's your talent. That's your live on-air talent. You may have a cue where you're supposed to go to this, but you want to stay with them to let them get their word. You know what I mean? So it's like you're running two simultaneous shows and trying to switch back and forth to marry them. So that's not easy, man. So I thought overall, man, they did a damn fine job.
And the audio sounded good in there. You know, like the walkout sounded good. Like even Grant, I was only out there for the first and the last, but it's funny because I hit up Heidi. I was like, dude, what was Raul Rose's like walkout song, because it was hitting hard. Like, well, maybe it's because I was getting caught up in the moment, but it was all Mexican sounding. It was just like, it had a good beat. I was like, I don't even know what this is, but like, it sounded good. So you could definitely tell this is a venue that can put on wonderful concerts, and that concerts are using, like, the audio was legit. I mean, when you go to sometimes, you know, great, you can't say the Apex, but when you see, like, the T-Mobile, sometimes the only thing you hear really loud, you hear the music, but it's just, it's not the same. But there was something.
Oh, their clarity. The clarity
of it. It was amazing. It sounded so good. Like, it's like the room had acoustics, like it was built partially for the acoustics as well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was just, it sounded so good. It sounded so good. So, yeah, I mean, I was floored. I thought I definitely give them an A. I mean, there could have been improvements. I mean, I thought some of the graphics could have been sharper, but, you know, all in all, I thought it was a great attempt. I give them an A on it. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to give them an A+, but I'll give them an A. It was pretty spectacular.
Do you believe one and done? I believe. Let me credit this. I do believe one and done for now. Like
for
the
now,
whole,
for sure.
For
yeah,
the
Dana
whole MGM contract
yeah.
thing. But do you think they go back?
I mean, I think if the, I like the idea though. I mean, if they start taking on the road, then the likelihood of them going back there again in the future. Who knows?
But maybe not for a Noche event, but maybe just for an event, like a big pay-per-view or something like that.
But I mean, like if somebody else foots the bill, I guarantee they'd probably be into it. I think he realizes how much. But again, you know, like what was neat about that was having that rich history and being able to tell a story to make it sort of give you something to watch. Because when you go watch a fight, there's not like a narrative. There's not like an arch. There's not like a timeline that they're trying to work through. With this show, there was a timeline they were following. You know, from the beginning to the future, you know, like, and you watched a passage of time that was able to portray. So people went along for a journey. When you go to T-Mobile, people don't think like, oh man, I was on a journey. They say well, I was there for the prelims and then I made it to the, you know, the main card. It's just a different sort of feel. So I think if somebody is willing to foot the bill, potentially, but again, Dana admitted at the end, he's like, my team is burnt out. He's like, you know, they've been working on it for like 7 months and like they all want it. Like they need a break, you know, and like I respect that he was saying that because like this was a heavy, heavy lift. And that's why Craig Borsari, when he was like, if it goes off good and you tell me that we need to do this, he's like, I want to start the day after.
Right.
So they can have a year to do it.
Because I don't need 7 months. I need a year.
It's so such a heavy, heavy lift. So I think for the sanity of that team, I can see them potentially doing it, but yearly would be out of the question. I think it's just too cost prohibitive, and it's too many other things have to take a back seat to this sort of thing.
It's true.
You know, you can't plan a major MSG show, you know, unless it's just going to be the standard fare. You can't change up other things if all your brain power and all your efforts is creating this big one, you know. I don't even want to call it a tentpole event because it's even bigger than that. I mean, like if this was almost like a company defining moment, this particular show, like they literally staked their reputation. They staked what they were able to do on what this show was going to do. And give them credit because they pulled it off.
Yeah.
If this would have flopped, not that the UFC would have changed, but Dana was staking his reputation as what the company was able to do on what they were going to do. So it's a very, very heavy lift, but you know, to do something like this, everything else takes a back seat.
Yeah.
You know, so I can see them going back and potentially doing it, but I don't know. It's pretty highly unlikely. I mean, Dana liked to try to lay on the fact of like, well, you know, we got all these MGM contracts. We're under contract. But I mean, it's very, very, it was hard. I think, you know, what's funny because, you know, Dana was like, when you asked him, did you enjoy it? And he's like, you know, he was kind of like the whole time, like just, you know, holding his breath to make sure that the night went off. I guarantee most of the UFC staff didn't enjoy that night and probably don't remember little bits because it was such a stressful night. So they like, if you ask them if they enjoyed it, they're like, I enjoyed when it was done probably, you know, like they're glad that it went off, but who knows? I mean, I would like to see it. I'd like to be in there again. It would be cool to experience because it would be interesting to see what they learned from this to switch up, like, you know, what they might do differently with the graphics. Would they maybe change the world? Would they maybe extend it and make other worlds? But, you know, do you know what rendering is, John? Just imagine the rendering if they had to do all the...
I've been studying it since, now that it's been introduced to me in the last couple of weeks, I've been really reading up on this rendering
thing. Imagine if you had to do it for all the other fights, you know, if they had to do whatever, you know, like that. But that first transition when the worlds first started changing...
Oh, that was so cool.
That was so cool. It was pretty badass. So, who knows? I mean...
I was just thinking, like, in my head, I was thinking about, like, Conor McGregor and obviously, you know, Sinead O'Connor can't be reading anything. Yeah. But, you know, like when we did that live entrance and she sang and all that, like, man, I don't know, just, you know, big moments like that. Like, the Sphere can make big moments feel like even bigger.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, something that I thought was maybe going to come out last night. I was almost going to ask Dana, but he was in a rush to get out. So the walkout for
when he was like, I'm in a hurry, I gotta catch a flight, and I asked him for a question. I was like, wait a minute, you don't have a departure time. I was like, what do you mean you're in a hurry?
Private, it's just customs, John. You know, the private jet.
I was
like,
wait a minute.
Anyway. So that transition that they did with Valentina and Alexa walking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when they initially filmed it, it was just Valentina.
Right.
And it was just Alexa.
Right.
You know, and then they did it in front of a green screen, and then it transitions to them walking out. So they do it, they watch it, and Dana's like, well, they wouldn't just be walking by themselves.
Right.
The team would be with them. So they had to reshoot it.
Is that right?
With the team.
Wow.
Walking with them.
Yeah, because why is she by herself?
Why would she be by herself? And then all of a sudden the team's there. It ruined the effect.
Interesting.
So Dana made the ask them and had them reshoot that scene so that they were all sort of walking, which means, because I heard that they were on treadmills.
Right.
You know, so they're on a treadmill in front of a green screen. So you
tell they showed a little bit of that in the countdown episode or one
did
of the
they?
Where it was, you know.
Which makes you wonder. So I'm like, did they have them all on treadmills or did they just find a way to have the team sort of beside her, sort of walking alongside
like, we're going to put her on a treadmill. You just walk, rock
just
back and forth.
Whatever.
We're not showing your legs.
But it looked pretty seamless. I mean, if you knew, like, I could tell that there was a transition.
Yeah, there was
You could tell it was filmed in front.
Right.
But still, I thought – I was like, kudos to Dana. But like, to like, that's the weird shit that we don't give Dana sometimes credit, because we know he's a stickler about the shit. If he doesn't like it, if he doesn't fit his way, his brain.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's something I can see where a lot of people wouldn't think about moment. They were like, okay, fuck.
That's a good catch.
We're putting her on a green screen because somebody would see it after the fact. And maybe when he saw it and maybe he saw the thing was like, oh, no, that doesn't work.
It was funny because he was in the post fight. He was like – now, you guys don't know this, but that was filmed ahead of time. And I was like, oh, no, I definitely know. Like, I could tell. It was like, I'm like you. But I get it. But that little point of detail
and
is.
And I wanted to bring that up, but I was like, I knew he was in a rush. I was like, it's not worth it.
Delaying
it or whatever.
He was trying to get out. I mean, he told us right away when he sat down. He's like,
but
guys,
I thought
let's make
that quick.
Cool.
I thought that was cool.
I mean, so they redid that on Fight Week?
I assume. Whenever they – or maybe just right after. I mean, who knows? When they might have – that could have been one of those things that they shot it. They put it in the show, and then they maybe VR'd it, or maybe they watched it in one thing, and they're like, "That's not going to work."
That doesn't make sense.
But if I get, you know, I don't know how far in advance they shot that sort of thing, because since it's a green screen, I mean, they could have been anywhere.
Yeah,
it's not like they had to do it inside the Sphere where they had limited access to get in there or whatever. So, who knows? But I thought that was
that's cool. That's cool.
I was like,
detail.
Dude, it's a cool little tidbit. I was like, neat.
Cold coffee. Like behind the scenes reporter, man, getting these little nuggets of information.
Just little tidbits.
These little seeds.
Just little seeds.
I love it, man. Well, listen, I thought it was a good show.
It was a good show.
I had been looking forward to it for a long time, and I wasn't. I kind of knew what I thought the show would look like, but it looked even better than I thought it would look.
We've been talking for 42 minutes. Granted, there was weather update at start.
Yes, yes.
We haven't even talked about the fights.
No, we haven't. Well,
that's one of a kind. I know, but that's what's so cool about the Sphere thing is even when we joked about it, when we said they literally could sell these tickets and don't even tell people who the main event is.
Nope.
Just sell them on the Sphere because the Sphere itself is the star of the show. You know, because – well, not the star, but
it is a major
element of the show. It's a different way of watching a fight. It's so
100%.
Immersive. It's just – it's so amazing.
And it was so – it was a weird – I will say I had the weirdest feeling at the end of it because obviously the title fights didn't really deliver heavy on entertainment. And it was kind of a like, that was amazing, but
Then you're reminded that fights happen.
Yeah.
And things happen in fights, you know. Like, that is not what I expected. I mean, I felt like I was like the jinx of the night. I pick O'Malley, even though I said that for most of the year I was picking Merab. O'Malley loses. I pick Alexa because I finally decided I'm going to pick Alexa because when I pick Val, she doesn't win. And then Val wins. I was like, I am literally a jinx for both these two.
Where do you stand now? Did you give away your lead or?
No, because they picked the same as me. I still got two.
Got it. So you still got two.
I think I still got two on Farah. Mike might have made up some ground, but I think I got him on one of the fights. So I'd have to look to see when we get the next week when the next picks come out. But, yeah, I mean, that's the fight part of the game. I mean, as much as bells and whistles, you know, and you get ready for these title fights, there's just the potential that somebody has an off night. And I just have to – it just felt like Alexa had an off night, just that Valentina didn't
– yeah,
just was just so controlling. As much as I was saying, like, man, Alexa's hands look great. Her striking looked great. I never saw it that night.
No.
You never
saw
it.
And Alexa, she looked to be in great shape. You know what I mean? We looked way in. She was ripped, and she seemed to be in good spirits the whole week. And, yeah, and then just went out and had, like, I mean, you could see that going into the fifth round. Like, she just the frustration on her face. Yeah. Like, I just don't have it tonight.
Even before that, it was – it was – and it's just weird. And Sean looked like he was just out of it right from round one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just – there was, like, a lack of emotion in his corner, and I was like – waiting to hear his team tell him something, you know, to switch it on or something. And it's just like, it's like they knew that Murad had the potential of doing that. And when it came down to do it, they had no answer for it. You know, they had no answer for it.
I've seen, because everybody's, and Dana said it post fight that Sean looked flat. And I've heard a lot of people come back and say, well, that's not fair. He looked flat because Murad was so good that it made him look flat.
Yep.
And I agree with that to a point, but I do think he looked flat. You know what I mean? Like, I just think even in the moments that he was on the feet and had those chances, like, the volume wasn't there. The aggression wasn't there.
Rob pushed the pace.
Yeah.
Rob came to him. Whereas, like, if you know you're standing, you know he wants to get you down, use as much of that moment while you're on your feet, and we didn't see it.
Exactly.
I never saw him and get, like, you didn't see him firing off first. It was like he was waiting to counterpunch. And it was just like, bro, you know he's just going to punch at you and then just to try to engage you and get in close. And then once he gets inside, he's going to try to take you down. I'm like, I didn't get it, you know. But it was – it's hard to not praise Marab for,
he's good.
For doing Marab.
He's good,
I mean, it was just fantastic. And I was like, fuck, Kenny.
He's good.
Why did you change your mind?
Him, and, like, him and Umar is going to be a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
I like that fight a lot.
I'll stick with Marab on that one.
Wow.
I think so.
Yeah. That'll be a good one. I hope that. It looks like that's going to be the next fight that happens.
What's that? Umanar?
Yeah. What was that, dude? Like, is that just like, I mean, is that like, I'm going to pretend I don't know? Like, it's four letters, bro. I know you're like, you're adding letters into it, dude. Like, I get it. You know, Hamzat Chimaev, and you want to say you don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Umar. You're adding letters. It's not like... Umanar. That was so great. It's a subtle detail there. That was, I don't know if that was Sean O'Malley trash talk or like what it was.
It was just awkward.
Umanar,
Magan, Megan, Vidar. Oh,
too funny, man. Boy, that the last thing, I guess, well, I mean, obviously, if there's anything else you want to talk about, the card. I guess you could mention Raul Rosas Jr. I will say the crowd with the chee-wee-wees, they were loving it.
That was funny. That was fun.
He had a lot more chee-wee-wees going on than
I mean, it was so much that he thought it was worth $50,000.
Definitely not.
He was like, Dana, give me $50,000. I was like, for what? And then we asked him in the back. He's like, do you see all the people that were cheering for me? I was like,
I don't think that's what you get them off of.
There
were some chee-wee-wee. I was surprised how many chee-wee-wees there were.
Yeah.
The other thing, that Aldana cut, man, I can't believe they didn't stop that fight. That thing
was gross.
Nasty.
They let her fight. He could have easily stopped that. I mean, it was to the point I was like, that blood is literally blocking her vision, and
she kept wiping at it.
You're choosing not to stop this fight at this point, you know. I mean, I give him credit for letting her show that, because she wanted to stay in the fight, obviously, but that could easily been stopped. But man, the doctor footage after the fact, I was like,
that was gross. I love her.
Probably one of the grossest ones I've ever seen.
It's one of the grossest ones. I love her little video that she put of, like, putting makeup on it.
Fucking funny as shit.
Hilarious.
Dude, I was like, well done. That was probably one of the coolest, best ways to deal with that situation.
I saw she's going to have some scars on that one.
That's going to leave a mark.
I saw Robin Rowe, who was the cut man that she had. He was at Contender Series. I'm like, dude, is there a point where, like, you just wave it off yourself? You know what I mean?
Like, you're like, where's my spackle? Yeah. You get the spade, and you're just taking out big chunks of cock and just throwing it in there.
It was so crazy because, like, he had his hand on it, like, trying to start, and then as soon as he pulled a hand away, like, blood just comes pouring out, like, bro.
It was fucking gross.
It was gross.
That was gross. And then the doctor to show, I was like, bro, stop showing it off and, like, suture that shit up. He's like, look inside. See her brain?
Oh, my God.
You can literally see what she thought on that fight.
That's a great comment. Oh, that's great.
How was that fight? Oh, yeah. I see what you said. I see what you did that there.
The internet is undefeated. That's a solid one. All right, so rare weekend off of major MMA events. Obviously, not completely off.
Calm before the storm. Before the coming storm.
Well, that's what I was going to point out. It is the calm before the storm. I am actually working this weekend. So I will say to everybody, if you're around on Saturday and you're looking for some mixed martial arts action, we do have CFFC 135 from the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa. So if you happen to be out in Florida, come out and check it out. Come say hello. If not, then at least tune into UFC Fight Pass at 8 p.m. Eastern for the main card. Myself and Gina Lucille is back with me as well. CM Punk still very, very busy these days with his WWE schedule. So
good for him.
He's alpha. Yeah, exactly. They're getting the most out of his services right now after he had some injury time. I think they're keeping him booked.
That's good.
So he's good. But it is starting a crazy stretch because check this out. I got September 21st, Florida State Fairgrounds, CFFC 135. 6 days later, Friday night in North Dakota, Four Bears Casino and Lodge for CFFC 136. The following week, October 5th, CFFC Muay Thai 3 in Philadelphia. So I will not be making it up to Salt Lake City because I will be out in Philadelphia for that one. So I'll be watching that pay-per-view on TV. The following week, I'll actually be doing a Tough Enough here in Las Vegas over at the Virgin. The following week, again, back out to Philadelphia for CFFC 137 on October the 18th. And then college wrestling starts, where actually it was just announced today, I think it was made official, but October 31st, so Halloween, which is actually one day before the NCAA wrestling season starts, we actually got an exemption to do Wyoming and Campbell again. You remember that was the Battle at the Barn last year. Mm. Those two teams are going to come back together. This time it'll be at the Frontier Days Rodeo Grounds. So it'll be out at some rodeo grounds, but then the college wrestling season starts in full earnest as well. So calm before the storm, and that is before adding in Contender Series that we still have. We still got, four more weeks?
One, two, three, four more weeks.
4 more weeks of Contender Series, and we've got a couple Apex shows coming up. We've got
Get the Apex. Salt Lake City, I'm sad you're going to miss the Club Area 51 school reunion party.
Maybe I have to go early in the week or something. We can hit it up early.
So fucking ridiculous. If you guys are going to Salt Lake City, you got to check out Club Area 51 and find us there at some point.
It's
gonna
that be place madness. Is ridiculous.
But then, got Brandon Rivera, Tetsuya Taira, the week after that. And then the final Contender Series. Is that the one that is it the final Contender Series is the guy that beat Paheya?
Ooh, I think he's in the last one.
One. And then we have the Hernandez. Who's on that one? It's Paheya versus Hernandez. Who's that one? What Paheya would that be? There's too many Paheyas in the UFC.
I don't even know where the schedules are anymore.
I know. This is literally. But, we're going to get ready to start a three-week run when we get back with that of just contenders, event, contenders, event, contenders, event.
What are you doing for the week of Salt Lake City? Are you doing Tuesday night and then flying out Wednesday morning?
Flying out Wednesday morning, first thing, 6 a.m.
To hit media day?
Land at 8:30 for 10 a.m., 11.
Wow. Yeah,
not looking forward to that one.
Whoa, that's going to be a busy stretch.
And that's a solo event, just me.
Just you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so that's not a fun week. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's a long work day. And then, you get a little break. No, I don't. I get Sunday off on the way back, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday off, Friday, Saturday event.
God bless.
And then, again, one week after that, yeah.
It's going to be crazy, man. This fall is going to be nuts.
There's some bangers, man. The end of the year is, man, it's shaping up, man. There's going to be some fun fights.
What else are you doing? Do you know? Are you going to travel the rest of the year?
MSG.
You're doing MSG?
Just found out. Yeah, I just booked that. Just booked that today.
Nice, and then obviously 310 is here in Las Vegas, so
that'll
be a home game. And then hey, at least we do get like a 3 or 4 week stretch off, right?
I'm actually gonna. I'm looking forward to that. And then December, I'm actually gonna go. I'm gonna go see my sister for Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey, yeah. Then this year, I wanted to really see family more, and then UFC going to UFC, schedule's going to schedule. The one time I was going to go see my mom early this year, the weather crapped out. I'm long overdue to go see some family, but unfortunately it's happened at the very end of this year. But, dude, I can't believe it's already September. This year flew. Certainly helps when you're always working, which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. I was going to say, there's a lot of people that wish they were working that aren't.
It's a good thing, but
pouring out for the homies. Whew.
I need to make better use of these week offs. It's usually like this one. It's going to be like 3 weeks in a row, and then the last thing I want to do is see anybody do anything. I just want to, like, shut the door, turn the lights off. I'll see you guys in a week. I'm going to be here in the house.
Oh, man.
But, oh, well. Oh, well.
Should be fun. I'm looking forward to how busy we're going to be. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of CFFC, so stay tuned for that. We'll keep you informed of it. So, listen, like you said, week off, so we'll give some people some time off, right? Maybe finish up on these. We got another round of these.
Got one more. Pucker up the taint. One more chance to pucker up the taint.
It is tang, sir.
That's tang. What I said.
No, you have not. I know what you've been saying the whole time, sir. I didn't want to acknowledge your childishness, sir. You should be acting more mature than this. Come on.
That's right. No, I won't.
Never mind. I'll stop you there. No, go ahead. Throw it out there. No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Taint.
All right, listen. Well, hopefully everybody enjoyed this Fear Show, and now we get back to regularly scheduled programming, back to the normal stuff going on. You just had a revelation.
I was like, did we need to talk about Jones saying he was going to step away, or we could save that when we get closer?
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you. I mean, we can't talk about it, but I don't buy it.
I was just going to ask that. Do you think it's going to stick, or is he just posturing? Is he just being weird right now?
Well, first of all, John's always a little bit of a troll.
Yeah.
Right? John's always a little bit of a troll.
So I feel like we need to get time before we really talk about it. But I was a little surprised to see that. Surprised, not surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I think it's a troll. I think it's basically just trolling Aspinall at this point. Just to be like, you know.
But I like that when Dana was like, Dana, is Tom the backup?
Yep.
Should you make it happen? So that means, are you going to have Tom weighing in?
Right.
Is Tom going to be in New York weighing in?
All right. So this Eric McMahon was the one that pointed this out to me first. And as soon as he said it, I was like, I hate you, but you're right. He was like, is there even really a point to having a backup for that fight? Like, are you telling me that if it's the week of the fight, it's Friday night,
John won't take something else?
No. And neither will Stipe.
That's true.
So what's the point of even having a backup? Neither one of them is going to take it.
But they're going to have. But they would have to have him there,
John.
They would have to have him there in the potential.
John,
that
I know
would.
It's 10 p.m. on Friday night. I'm sorry about this. I know that you just had the ceremonial weigh-in with Stipe, but he started puking immediately.
Yeah.
But hey, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. I don't know if you noticed this morning, but Tom Aspinall weighed in, and he's actually good to go. And so we still got you a fight tomorrow night in MSG. So anyway, just one.
What's that? You said?
I'm developing
a cough right now.
I think Stipe got me sick too. what'd you say he had? Yeah, I think that's what I got too.
That's what I got too.
So I can't see it.
Yeah.
I can't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But maybe things are different nowadays. I mean, we've already seen it before. You tell me you wouldn't take Chael Sonnen on short notice, but you'll take Tom Aspinall on short notice?
Good point.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's like.
And that was in his prime.
Right? Yes. That wasn't a heavyweight.
Well, maybe it was as he's getting to his prime. That was still early.
That was when he was killer light heavyweight John Jones.
He hadn't started training. He hadn't really started training yet at that point.
And
he was still doing blow and going to the gym and destroying dudes.
Oh, the word. It's so crazy, man. He's so damn good. But, yeah. No, it's – so, I don't know. I think if he wins, should he win, I think it's not 100% certain that he retires, but I think he's going to keep saying that all the way up to it.
Yeah.
But as far as the backup thing, like, I don't think it matters. I don't think he's taking anything on short notice.
True. But I think they'd have to have him there. They have to have him there just in case. For the one, because then say they don't have him there. Say they don't have Tom there and something happens.
Right.
Well, I would have fought him if he was here.
Oh, 100%.
I would have fought him if he was here.
100%. Yeah, you're right.
Where's he at?
You got to force the hand, right?
Where's he at?
You got to force the hand and be like, hey, we had a fight ready to go for you. He turned it down.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the conversations if that happens? Hey, buddy. Is he still pound for pound number one right now? He just turned down a fight. Cost your main event in Madison Square Garden. What do you think now, buddy?
Yeah.
Still, hey, I know he just turned down a fight, but if he walked into a room. If he walked into a room. Who's walking out, buddy? Who's walking out? Oh, man. And look, I'm not taking a shot at John Jones. Like, I'm a John Jones fan. I'm not taking a shot at him. Like, That's 100% within his right to be like, I'm not fighting the interim 100%. Champ on one day's notice.
Yeah,
I want to prepare. I want to have a camp for him. I didn't game plan for him. I haven't watched any film. Yeah. You know how meticulous he is about watching film.
He's like,
and
I've
studying.
Been game planning for Stipe for 2 years.
Yeah.
I need 2 years.
So I'll see you in 2 years, Tom Aspinall. I'm not doing it in 2 hours. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, we got
all
time.
Right. That's good. It just popped in my head. I was like, fuck, should we say something about it?
I think I'm still trying to figure out that schedule. I'm not going to be there the full week, but I think I can be there on fight night and maybe media day. We'll see. I think I might have something on Thursday of that week. We're still trying to nail down the schedule. Thursday or Friday.
I'm sure I'll probably have a couch you can crash on.
That's not bad.
Different set of hotels this year.
Yeah, because that might be no. Because then I have to pay Manhattan prices for a night. How bad was your hotel?
260 something.
That's not
I got
bad.
A deal.
That's
I
not bad. 260 a night?
Because the place I got. It's in a different part. I don't want to say where it's at.
Right.
But it's further from Madison Square Garden, so it's about $100 less. In fact, I told Mike where I was staying, and he was like, oh, shit. He's like, I was somewhere closer to where it used to be.
Right.
And he said you saved $100 a night going over there. So still, $260 is not cheap.
But that's cheap. Like, that's cheap for Manhattan.
It's cheap for New York. It's cheap for Manhattan. Like a lot of the other hotels around there. And it's one of the Hilton brands. Were like 360 and up. There was one that was like the range was like 360 to 700. And so, I was like, no. Yeah, it's just everything up there. I mean, it's a cool city to visit, but it is not a cheap city to visit.
It's so expensive,
by any
man.
Means. But yeah, so I will have a room. But yeah, more than like if you need a.
All right, we'll get that worked out. We're trying to get everything finalized on that. So as soon as I know, I'll assume. All right. I said we're going to duck out early, but you brought up a good point. But there'll still be plenty to talk about for that. I'm looking forward to that event. Even though, like most, I sure wish it was John Jones and Tom Aspinall. That may still happen. We shall find out. But
yep.
I hope everybody enjoys the off week here, the decompression week, the settle up week, the calm before the storm week.
Yes. Take time to pucker up your taint.
We're going to finish Q4 strong. Appreciate everybody who supports us over at patreon.com/TheMMAroadshow. No and a half episode this weekend, but we'll get back to it next week. In the meantime, everybody enjoy your weekend off. Enjoy the cool weather coming in, football underway, all that good stuff. And thanks for listening.